Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler and well, the Wolves roller coaster is still rolling on with another great win at the weekend at Brentford. One of our guys, Mick McQuillan, was lucky enough to be there and I'm joined by Mick and Gary Cotter for this week's podcast to discuss the game, the travelling over and all the festivities surrounding the day. Hope you enjoy it.
Hey Gary.
Good evening Tony.
Tell you what. Yeah, revenge never tasted so sweet as that, you know, 5 o'clock on Saturday. Yeah, and the icing on the cake was the red card.
Oh, yeah, he really, he deserved that now. I have to say, I said it a couple of places, I was very disappointed with his attitude, you know. I mean, he's come across as the real smooth, calm kind of manager, you know, friendly guy on the line. Well, to me, anyway, he was a little bit unappreciative, to say the least, at the end of the game. They come in.
I thought it was so hypocritical, like, you know, like having been at the home game back in September and seeing what they did. Remember, we spoke about it afterwards. 53 minutes, the ball was in play, things like that. And
yeah,
they had no conscience whatsoever, dropping like flies around the pitch. I mean, it was brilliant to see him squirm there on Saturday, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, rushing behind to pick the ball up for a kick, for a goal kick, or rushing to put the ball on the corner spot, or, yeah, you know, all this type of stuff to speed the play up. Like the way Sa wound him up, I thought was brilliant. Like altogether, you know.
Yeah.
And Moutinho, I think Moutinho was genuinely, you know, he got a genuine belt, like, and he got a lot of stick for it, and that's what Frank was on about, but it was pure frustration because we did exactly what they did to us.
Yeah.
Back in September. So
yeah,
I thought it was brilliant. I mean, I found myself roaring at the television set, you know, on Saturday there when Frank was coming out into the pitch and then he got his yellow and I thought, God, that's great. And the only one thing that could top it was him getting a red, and he went 2 feet into it.
He said, he said he asked the referee, he gave him his yellow, so he said, well, you might as well give me another one, you know. And that was kind of a bit stupid, really, you know.
Yeah.
You know. But good evening, Michael.
Good evening.
Good to see you. Seems like an age since we were over last weekend.
What people can't see is the smile on Mick's face there now, Tony. I'd say he's still, he's probably still on a high after Saturday.
I think his eyes have lifted from the mere West Ham and United. Probably he's looking up at Liverpool and Man City now, I'd say, has been close.
Oh, well, I think Chelsea ain't far away either.
No. Well, I suppose with games in hand and all that, but we'll see.
Don't mind the games in hand. Our next couple of games. Our next game is Arsenal. Beat them, we're ahead of them. After that, we Spurs. Beat them, we're ahead of them.
Ah, yeah. Small steps. Big steps. Yeah, well, I mean, in all fairness, you know, I was thinking about it the weekend. I was saying, like, oh, Europe is starting up, but it's the top three are the only three. Oh, sorry, and United as well are the only ones in Europe, aren't they? Like, Arsenal and Spurs aren't.
I don't think that matters. Because, as I'm saying for a couple of months now, there's no side playing better than we are.
Yeah.
And we're playing it consistent. Yeah. We're probably the best defence around. I know it's a little bit ropey because Sainz is not there, but it's still a formidable defence.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the two boys. Like, on Saturday, the second half, they really gave them a second lesson in football. When we played them, at Molyneux, and they got one over us, and we went and prepared for the physicality.
Yeah.
But boy, Jesus, Saturday we were.
Yeah.
And we could get into them. And, you know, they were stuck with Don. They are a very physical side, and they tried to... Now, that stamp on Stars, where they could have broke his fucking foot when you're standing waiting in the corner, and he deliberately done it. That's an easy, should be in a sending off.
Yeah, yeah.
And it, between the lads, and you see them later on, he won that ball in the air because they were just pointing in them all the time.
Yeah. That's the difference,
He got the ball, and when he got up and he started running, it was like rugby. He certainly played with your man out when your man was trying to stop the run. He was trying to release the ball quickly, but look at.
Even Janssen, who was the second one to try and block it, look, Jesus, I tell you, he nearly flattened him, you know. He wasn't stopping him kicking it. And he actually, by the time he got to Janssen, I think he looked like he was actually playing a little game himself then of wasting time, you know, kind of barging into them and, oh, look at me, you know. But he's I tell you, he's been a revelation this year, you know. That fella, did you mention Soyce there? Is that the fella who used to play centre-half for us? Is he gone, isn't he? Jesus, I tell you, that's, I know before we start talking about the general, but I have to say, I was just thinking of it there a few minutes ago. I mean, we were all dreading Soyce going to the African nations, and then Toti comes in last week, and Jesus, it's like as if he's been there forever.
Yeah, he is a quality player. Yeah. And again, he's one of those lads who was fast, but not only that, he is so, so comfortable. And that's the one thing with the one players, every one of them. The ball is coming out of the air, they just kill it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what this, what a hoist is coming from. And there's very few teams have, you know, so many players that we have. Look, at Saturday, it was absolutely an unbelievable day. So many things happened. it was unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Anyway, you know? But to start anyway, because I suppose... compared to the messages we were getting about Christy and the like, I suppose your trip over playing and training or whatever was probably painless enough, was it?
I was painless enough. I went on the bus again because I thought I would end up having a few points. It clearly turned out I had the first one just after 7 o'clock, so I was with a few Leeds fans there. They were heading over to the match, and then the young fella saw me in the plane. I was in the seat, and he was already in at the skills, and I came to the window seat. He said, "I just informed me I'm a Brentford fan, you know." And I got in and I said, "You joke me now." He said, "I'm a Chelsea fan." So I must say, he was about 23, 24, but
yeah,
a fair to the young fella. He was very well up in the game of football. And,
yeah.
And although he follows Chelsea, he knew an awful lot about what was going on, even with Wolves and that. So he was a good lad. But apart from that, then, I had a few. To run to Luton, the two trains up to where we'll be, fairly active. I was up there early enough, and Noel McKillen had told me that he wouldn't be up till about Victoria till about 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then I sent them where we were going for it. But then they got that all muddled up. The pub we were going to didn't open till 12 o'clock, so that was a no-no.
All right.
and it was gas because when they were down to in the place of the 11:15, it didn't look a great place, and I rang the boys and they were up in some pub about 10-15 minutes up the road, and I was walking up towards them and up towards where they were. Next thing, I'm coming by this pub and said, "That's the name of the pub," the lad said, "but it's probably not the one." And next thing, two fellas came out the door. It was a fucking Christy and Mark. You know Mark from Stavonsley? Mark the...
Yeah.
Dad wasn't coming up to later.
Yeah.
And they came out of the pub and said, "Okay, mate, come on, get in here. This fella's had, we're getting this fella to open an hour late." You know what I mean? So I rang the other lads and it was a fabulous pub, great pub.
Yeah.
We went there and we had a good bit of crack. And of course, Christy was there as usual. He had a bar tab and, you know, he is a character. Like, yeah. The lads were saying, he's Frank Spencer. In my opinion, yeah. He's a Frank Spencer.
Did Mark know him?
I think Mark has met him. Yeah, should let him, when he goes to, even though he might be going to matches, he meets the lads up and all around the place.
Yeah, yeah.
Around London, because he lives up that area. But Mark was there with his son. With a bit of crack, but then we decided to later on to head up to the far side of the ground, up to another pub. And
yeah.
Jesus, we go up there, and that's when the fun started. The fun and games started with the four Yanks, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Just hardly lads, they were like, you know, probably in the 30s, whatever, casual and that, and
yeah.
Didn't think. And it wasn't, we're getting ready to go, that he asked Christy, and that, where are they heading down here? I'm not going, I've no ticket.
Yeah.
So, oh, geez, before it was only 4 of us. But he was down. I thought to myself, and it was the carpenter. So, oh, this is Jesus.
Yeah.
And then what happened? He lost the bottle. He lost a lot. He's done a new now. But nearly done in Bristol City.
And come here, somebody put up a notice, a little, I don't know whether it was from Facebook or something, but it was saying about, was it from somebody in Brentford, was saying, "This fella, we threw him out." It was like the Flintstones cat, I'd say. They threw him out four times. Was that him, yeah?
Yeah, what happened was, not just that one, but there was a lot of old fans travelling up with no tickets. So every pub was nearly taken over with Wolves fans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was a bit of complaints about it. But London would say that was him. Because I think Yanks had to bail him out because the security man left the back in. Yanks got him back in. And the man said on Twitter, pissed up, he said, Wolves fans. Four times they kicked him out and he kept getting back in. So they ended up, the Yanks went back up to the pub in 10-minute walk. They said they never had so much fun. It was a great crack. But they're investors. They were investing big time in Wigan Wanderers.
Yeah.
And they were going to take in a couple of matches. But they were no ordinary Joe. So, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't get back to see them after the match because the others, Theo and all of them were back up because I had to wait for Noel McKinnon. I'd have been a contraband for them.
That's right.
Again, can we get out with the match was always 5:30. And then our train was going to 6:30. And I didn't meet now until 6:00. And it wasn't, we got the train, headed back to Clapper Junction. Noel went to Waterloo from there. And I went down to Gatwick, you know. But that was the run. It was eventful, but there were no problems with trains. Thank God.
Well, that makes a change anyway. Just with pubs.
What was it? Mick, is Gatwick the right place then for Brentford?
Yeah. If you go to Chelsea, any, what do you call it, West Ham, any of those.
Fulham.
Gatwick is so easy. Yeah, you know, Fulham. That's the side to go, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, if you do Watford was cheap. That's why I went, because I was late booking the flight, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can get a train direct from Luton Parkway. Way to Gatwick, you know. Walked out 5 minutes. That's the first time I went that. I went Luton going to West London, and certainly it was a good one, you know.
Yeah. And do you think it works for West Ham? Does it work for West Ham as well? You can.
West Ham and Stansted are about the same distance away from
Gatwick.
West Ham and Stansted are from Gatwick.
Gatwick and Stansted.
Yeah, the same distance away from the London Stadium.
Yeah. What about Spurs?
I normally go to last London, Stansted for that.
That's definitely Stansted, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. No. Just as an aside, I've been looking at it the last couple of days, and Stansted is fairly dear for that Sunday for Spurs. So I might skip it.
Have a look at Gatwick.
Yeah.
Because you can still get up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the one thing about Gatwick, you can get the later flight back, but I didn't know Stansted is a 10:15 flight back. You know, and the one thing I always do in London, I nearly always get the later flight because.
Yeah.
Just in case of any
but you're
gaps, you know?
you're on 20 to 8 from Stansted for Spurs, aren't you?
Yeah.
But that's looking at, there's one I think at 10:05 or something. That 20 to 8 flight is now £260 just that return flight. So it must be picking up the Spurs fans, I'd say. Must be booking that, so because it's 2:00 kickoff. But
you probably find there's probably someone like one or two big clubs in London that day.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe it's rugby.
Well, it's Sunday, but so it'd be early kickoffs anyway, you know. So, anyway, I suppose we'll get on to the big celebration, the weekend, the game. Just on the team news, I suppose there were no surprises really in the lineup.
Well, I would have said, I didn't know about Jimenez not being calf injury, wasn't it? So I didn't realise. But yeah, the question was, and if you think back to the Brentford at home, having Dendonker in was. For that purpose Mick mentioned earlier of, you know, they are a big side.
Yeah.
Beefy around midfield and the extra midfielder. I think he got it spot on. And I know everybody, the plaudits have gone to Neves and Moutinho, but I thought actually Dendonker did have a very good game, a very effective game this time round. I thought as well, yeah. I was delighted that Silva got his chance. And all I could say really is that no one left us down at all. You know, Ait Nouri was brilliant. Semedo was brilliant. I thought everybody really, like, even though, say, Podence had a probably slightly quieter than the normal, he was playing deeper.
Yeah.
But he rarely loses the ball. He always keeps it, he always keeps it moving. So, yeah, again, I thought everyone was... did you see that point? I managed to... watch it on the stream and then watch Match of the Day Saturday night and then watch it live again Sunday morning on Sky.
Yeah.
So I had a good feel for it. But that point that was made by the commentator was that Sarr had done 9
sweeper keeper plays in this season so far, which was more than Patricio had done in the 3 years he was with us. Did you see that one though?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I seen that, but look, I don't. The two different side keepers, but Patricio was a shot stopper.
Yeah.
And this little fella is a bit more. There's a bit more. He comes out quick, and that, like people were saying last year, we're very slow at the back. As you can see, not that we're slow at the back. It's just that there was too much space for them to cover.
Yeah.
And get that in there is a major improvement because it gave the lads so much confidence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What I do like about him, and this is, I think, the fundamental difference in Saha, you've seen him the other day, he's not afraid to come for those balls.
Yeah, yeah.
And they could do that, but Patricio is always bothered by people hanging around him.
Yeah,
He's not comfortable. And there lies the difference. And you're seeing it, you know, that clip when he got the ball and he mowed fellas out of it. That fella get his game playing for Dublin.
It was something I was going to say, actually, Mick, when you said it. Like, you need in the Premier League, you need a keeper who can dominate, particularly like a lot of the teams, Burnley, Brentford, Watford, big teams, they're going to come at you, they're going to lump the ball into you, and, you know, corners, set pieces, long throws, the whole lot. And I mean, Sa is literally head and shoulders above Patricio for that sort of play.
We marked space at the back for corners.
Yeah.
And it kept falling down because the keeper wasn't coming. That first 5-6 yards out, that's the keeper. Patricio doesn't come out, and that causes you a problem. We're conceding a load of corners, but we don't seem to be losing any headers.
No. Just on the game itself, Mick, I didn't see it till after the drone. When I came home and the interruption was there. But the two Brentford players, that was a nasty clash with the two of them.
Yeah, that was the goalkeeper's start. That was our goalkeeper. And the game kicked off. There was a lot of battling for the right to play football. And our lads, in fairness to them, they were well up for Saturday's game.
Yeah.
They got humiliated back among you, and you could see they were up for this one. You know, and the ball, there wasn't a lot between them at that stage, but I thought we were controlling it.
Yeah.
They weren't causing us any trouble. And then Patricia got the ball quick and released it quick, sent it into the air, and that's what happened. They went, the two of them came flying in different directions, and you could see it coming, we could see it coming. But it was a nasty crash.
Yeah.
You know, the pair of them. And then, you know, when they were down, and this is something that's happened this year, big time, when they were down for the bit, I must have been 8-9 minutes. Wolves manager, what's it called, Lage, is very good at getting the troops around him very quickly.
Yeah.
And he knew what way they were playing, what they were up to, and they were able to adjust the structures. After that, I know they lost the two players, but after that, we were better than what they were. Then, what's it called, the effect on drone arrives, and that was this, and Jesus, we said, we ever get over here tonight? And then, and the funny thing was, the start of the second half, it was delayed again because the referee came out and the team was the most. Holy Jesus. There was two people next to me, or three, the girl and a couple of lads. Your accent is Irish. I said, yeah. And I said, I flew over this morning. Jesus, she says, this gets abandoned. She said, we'd bring you for a drink and something to eat. So, I said, I hope fuck it doesn't abandon my Jesus. But that, you know, the first half, that's the way the first half was. But the second half, there was only one team in it.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking the first goal was great. It just kind of came out of nowhere, really. Just a couple of quick passes. And, I mean, when you think Moutinho, the 1-2s, you don't see him doing that too often. But just a great finish. It's so nice. Like, I mean, I think we had about 4 or 5 players around the area for that move, you know.
Tony, that was a brilliant goal. There was 14 passes in that goal.
Yeah.
14. And where it came from, and the football leading up to it, I thought it was a fantastic goal. And the minute he left the sport, we were in a great position. And we seen a bend, we knew it was death down.
Yeah.
It was a fabulous goal.
Yeah.
Right in front of us. You know, brilliant it was, you know.
Yeah. But the team that I think would have cost, I don't know, we probably saw more of it, myself and Gary, on telly than you would have known what was going on in the ground. But the Totti sending off, which could have been the turning point for us in the result of the game. But Gary, what was your opinion on the sending off that was reversed?
Yeah, I thought my immediate reaction was it didn't come across as a sending off because his feet were too low.
Yeah,
you know, he, there was no sense that he went over the top of the ball, and he wasn't in no way was it out of control.
Yeah,
like he was fully in control of it with what he was doing, and like, yeah, I was flabbergasted when I saw the red. I thought, but I mean, I didn't. First thought was I didn't expect that to be overturned. Like,
yeah,
but absolutely, yeah. So yeah. A good occasion for VAR that time, like, you know.
Yeah. From watching it myself, well, when I saw it first from my background for the bit of refereeing knowledge I have, but I mean it's hard to know what way to describe it, but I mean the referee let it play go on, number one, which to me what we're told is tackle a sending off offence, you stop the game and you give it a red card. There's no such thing as advantage. Now the ref played it on. I'm saying did somebody go in his ear then and say, we think that's a sending off, which could only be a linesman or VAR, because it seemed to stop it at a strange time because Brentford had the ball. Yeah, it was a strange timing, the way he just stopped the game after letting it go. And
I thought that what happened was you're right, he let the game carry on. Brentford were in a reasonably good position. You know, Toti was kind of out and struggling to get back. Then he, like you say, whatever came into his head, he blew the whistle there. And I thought that there was lots of groans from the Brentford crowd for blowing the whistle when they were in possession. Yeah. And I thought, in some ways, that he had to make up for that. And he pulled out the red card. Like,
yeah.
I think that was a flash of, you know, a rush of blood to the head there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, I think. Yeah.
I think he just got in.
I'd agree with you, Gary. That was my looking at it. That he was letting it go on, and then all of a sudden, to stop a move like that when they were tackled, and they had us, like, we were caught at that stage.
Yeah.
And he blew it back, and the only thing he could have done, I think, was give a red card. Otherwise, the crowd would have had him.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, he has an absolute diabolical referee. Then the fella next to me said, and he was probably right, that it was a fantastic goal from Tony. You know, he caught it on the button. Brilliant goal.
Yeah.
And he said, listen, in all fairness, they probably would have scored. So it was probably justice done, you know what I mean?
I have to say, Mick, my opinion was on it that having given the free kick and with the red card and VAR looking at it and all that, I mean, I don't think if it was just a normal situation where the free kick was given, I think our defence was unsettled because there were probably messages going, Toti's going off, we need to reorganise. It's the only explanation I can have that Tony was so far on the right hand, on the left hand side of the goal on his own.
Can I offer something there? Can I offer something there? Yeah. I don't know whether you saw it, but I when Shane and myself were watching the game, and I was just flabbergasted when Tony had that much space at the back. And Shane said to me, yeah, but did you not see the two Brentford guys blocked? They had three at the back. Two of them were blocking and left a load of room for Tony and no one marking him. I was trying to figure out, how come no one's marking him?
Yeah.
But that was a deliberate play.
Yeah,
the two guys blocked Dendonka and the guys at the back. Tony had a free strike at the ball.
Yeah.
No, I seen that myself, Gary, on the second take. I was watching it, but that was the nature of the game. They are a physical side.
Yeah.
And they're not afraid to use it. But at the same time, what Tony said there too, we were just organised for a while there because after getting the sending off, getting the reprieve, it ended up in the back of the net. But after that, it was just where I just thought the two boys, they stepped up a big notch for Matinho and Neves, and they gave them a football lesson in midfield.
But
it was brilliant to watch.
I actually thought too that Dendonker seemed to start pushing forward a lot more as well for the last 15 minutes. He was up in the end line to knock the ball back for the ball in for Neves' goal. Then for
that's right. Pudence. Yeah, I mean it comes across as 5-3-2, but it's just very much 5-2-1-2, I think. You know, that Dendonka has the license to push on a bit. The two boys are more settled, more settled, more central. But, I think, I thought he was instrumental in a lot of the plays.
Yeah.
Made a change with Traore come on there and maybe play Traore. And I tell you, I'll be honest with you, that's a good position to have him in. He was causing a few bits of problem, but it did, the Donker was pushing. But it was overall, you could see the whole team had stepped up a notch.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You had, the attitude I had that, they remembered the game back at Molyneux, and yeah. They weren't letting this one slip, you know what
definitely,
I mean?
Definitely, yeah.
And when we got the goal, I just thought that we started knocking the ball around, and the pace was up in it.
Yeah.
And you know, you would say, oh shit, you know, these lads are really on top of their game.
Yeah.
And we got the goal. We should have got the third one.
Yeah.
You know, it was a shame it was disallowed.
But
you know?
Yeah, I looking at it on telly and even looking at a match of the day, yeah. I mean, they only showed one still picture of Traore offside. Foot was up and that was, it was like a toe. But they never actually showed it and stopped it. There was just this picture they were showing. I don't think he was offside at all, really.
He wasn't offside. There's two offsides in the weekend, but that one, I tell you what, Tony. If you look, I've looked at that twice from the TV angle when the game was in play.
Yeah.
And when that ball was passed, he was never offside.
He was a yard.
Behind. When they showed the Lions. Have a look at where the camera angle was. It was about 5 or 6 yards for the
Lions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you could do that, you can actually manipulate the decision to make the Lions suit what you want.
Well, I'll second guess the other one you're talking about, and they'll say Old Trafford.
Yeah.
The other one, where it went the other way. That, Jesus, I'm sure that they should have put a bend in the line. Just the shoulder, he was actually, because definitely didn't look onside. I don't know, but
was an Alec in the bar area, wasn't he?
I was just going to say, yeah. Did you see that? It was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Alex was doing the bar, yeah.
Yeah, I tell you, he would have enjoyed all the extra time in the Wolves Brentford match anyway.
Listen, the noise from the away crowd was brilliant, wasn't it?
Oh, they were.
As a game,
we
were up for it. The Wolves fans are up for it. But I tell you what, Gary, everybody is confident. It's so confident that Europe was coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they just, and the players react to it because we're playing some absolutely great football. But I tell you what, during the week, it's funny. I like watching the old westerns now and again. But during the week, I was watching the westerns. I hadn't seen it in years. You know, Paint Your Wagon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm there watching it and I'm half sleeping and all of a sudden, we're on our way, we're on our way. Where are we going? That's the fucking silence. And it was brilliant. I said, lads, I'm saying, you're just fucking watching. And I tell you, that was an omen, you know, watching that. I didn't know where that song had come from.
It was probably popular the last time we were in Europe before the fucking Europa League.
It was brilliant.
Did anybody notice that with Neves' goal, that Traore didn't particularly celebrate?
No, I didn't notice that, no.
I didn't notice that.
Basically, you know when the ball was pulled back, it just missed Traore and made his way back to Trinco, was it? And he laid it to Neves.
He laid it to Moutinho and then across, yeah.
Then he scored, right, and headed straight for the Wolves fans and he passed Traore by 2 or 3 yards. Traore put his hand out, but he stopped. Neves went into the corner and Moutinho and most of the guys, Traore didn't. And I noticed when he scored as well. Now, I know he was facing the other way, but he went the opposite side to the Wolves fans. Was it a bit of booing when he came on?
No.
No?
No, I couldn't say that, no.
There
was a fair bit of booing from the Beckham Dare fans.
For the Brentford fans, yeah. I was thinking it might have been, yeah.
We were seeing him start to finish.
It was definitely great for it.
What do you think? Is he gone?
I my own opinion, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they put in an offer, but it was torn down.
Yeah.
And I don't believe a lot of what's wrote and at the minute. A lot of it is media spun.
Yeah.
Now the reason I'm saying that is who in the right mind would sell a player to one of the teams that's in contention for the Champions League spot with them.
Yeah.
You'd be madness. Now, if they were to sell them in June, I can understand. Yeah. But you don't sell him in January.
Yeah. And I say, Mick, plus two, he's I mean, we paid 15 million for him, and they think we're selling him for 20. And by I mean, how much would you say his value has increased? We bought him in the championship. He would have been a championship player, really.
18 million, I think.
Yeah, and now we've turned him into a Premier League player and a much better player. And you know, we're going to settle for 2 million more. I can't see that. If they are going to sell him, that Wolves will be looking for proper money. I mean, you read all the headlines, close to a deal and all this.
You don't sell a player to one of your competitors at this stage when you're in direct competition with them for that fourth spot. I don't care what anyone says. We're well in there, and you don't do that. If you do that, you need to.
I mean, Traore did run. He went over, as I say, away from the fans, but he was into the arms of Lage, and Silva came back on, and you know that everybody. It was a joyous celebration. I'm just saying, I didn't know whether he deliberately avoided the fan side of things, you know?
No. My reading of it, and I could be totally wrong, but my thinking that it's his agent that's pushing for what he wants. I think if Traore had his way, and I know a bit more about Traore than some people do, but I'm not going to say it on here. And Traore is the home there. And he knows he's not a player that mixes well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Outside that. And he has a choice. He'd come along and say, listen, I've got to sign the contract or whatever, or the money's going to come in and Wolves will take it. But it wouldn't surprise me if he's still there come May or June.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me if he re-signed the contract. That's my way of thinking. I don't think it's all as clear cut. As the paper.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been in the air for Jay's over a year now, I think, you know, the speculation over the contract and whether he'll sign it. Now, like, it's gone back over the year, like, just hearing people talking about it, you know, so you could, make there could be something. But as you say, like, when the longer it goes on, the less likely if you're going to, he'll walk for a free, because, you know, when contracts are coming to the last year, clubs won't pay big money for a player because they know they can run it down in 6 months and get them for nothing, you know. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see anyway.
If you get competition there for the signature, if it's down low enough, then, you know, no one will be sure what they're going to get, you know.
Yeah.
I'll be on the paper.
Anyway, we're well on time, lads. And go on, listen. I'll see you.
Yeah, see you.
We'll talk to you, right? Take care.
All the best.
Good luck. Bye. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.